This is Worldwide Christian Radio.
WWCR.
Nashville,
Tennessee.
United States of America.
The noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody will be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
Well, greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live around the world on the Mighty Voice, the transmitting jewel of the South, WWCR, the 5070. It's the Cadillac of the shortwave radio industry throughout the world. None better, none greater, as we are live in a message tonight. I believe that you're thoroughly going to be blessed by joining us. Now, we're going to talk about the great mysterious figure, the Ancient One, that goes back to the mystery of Melchizedek. We're talking about the Melchizedek priesthood. Was it a separate priesthood? There's nothing to indicate in the Bible that it was of the Aaronic priesthood or the Levitical priesthood. It wasn't even associated with it. Matter of fact, this is one of the great mysteries of where, why, and how this priesthood came about. Where did it originate from? Where did Joseph really get his wife? Have you ever thought about that? Was she really an Egyptian? Something from the seed of Ham? I don't think so. Do you? Because the royal priesthood, the royal blessing tribe of Joseph, had to be a unified royal covenant tribe. And the Heavenly Father, knowing this, we're going to talk about that royal priesthood. Did you know that the royal priesthood is spoken by the man that had the keys to the kingdom, the Apostle Peter, the only one that dared mention it outside of the Apostle Paul in the 7th chapter, actually the last verse of the 6th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and we're going into the 7th. We're going to examine the great mystery of the priesthood of Melchizedek. Should we think about it? Should we understand it? Should we investigate? Well, I think so. We're going to do that very thing tonight as we begin a new series connected with the last series of Birth and Rebirth. This is a continuation, but it's in a vein of newness. In other words, a renewal of the times of the covenants and the principles of the high priesthood. Well, what about the Levitical that entertained us in a priest fashion, where Moses, even his glory, the Bible said he was a wonderful man. We're going to talk about the mystery of Moses also as related to this mysterious figure. What figure did Moses really stand before that he had to continuously, after the engagement of this mighty priest that he visited, as did Abraham, Moses, being in the presence for over 80 days, he spent 2 40-day occasions in the presence of this great figure of the priest called Melchizedek. Well, we know that this Melchizedek priest was called the King of Salem. For Hebrew, that is the King of Shalom. Well, we know that there's no peaceful city upon the earth there's been cities chosen, but they turned out to not be the city of Shalom. Did this priest come from the eternal city where we seek? Is that the city that Abraham sought? Did he get this mysterious revelation from this mysterious priest that met him? We're going to look into that. Some of the very, very needful aspects of the incarnation of the Messiah, Christ, Yahweh-Shua in the flesh body, types exactly. We're going to give you the identical characteristics of the Melchizedek priesthood and the priesthood of Christ himself. Identical. 12 things to start out with to the identity of the identical characteristics. And number one, both were sons of God. It is stated emphatically, we'll give you the scripture just in a moment, both were high priests of God. The third aspect of this great mystery, both were kings of righteousness. The fourth aspect, both of them were appointed by divine destiny. Both of them were known as kings of peace. The sixth aspect, both of them were eternal ones. Oh man, I really get a charge in my spirit when I talk about the eternal ones. And in this series, we're going to talk about the difference between the eternal. We're going to talk about the illumination of Abraham that received this covenant and what really changed the character of Abraham from Mesopotamia to the king of mighty of Revelation. What did he see, or what was he told by this mighty man, Melchizedek, who stepped out of the dimension of time and revealed himself to Abraham, and to whom Abraham paid tithes? Isn't that strange? He thought tithes maybe came from the Aaronic priesthood. It's not true. Tithing to the high priest was a custom of the spiritual, meaning that the seeds sown to the soul are reaped only in the hereafter. Oh yes, there's blessings and benefits and peace and shalom attached with the sons of God, the high priests of God, the kings of righteousness, the appointments of God, the kings of peace, and the eternal ones. Both of them were priests, and both of them, get this now, both of them were pre-existent ones. Isn't that wonderful? In John 8:58, I told you that the Messiah told the Pharisees, before Abraham was, I am. And they liked him to scorn. Well, we're going to prove that this man that stood there in shoe leather, that lived for 33 years in a flesh body, that he claimed to have visited and known Abraham personally, and the only time that he was personally saw or seen in the Bible, the first occasion is the book of Genesis, chapter 14, beginning at verse 18. We're going to discuss it in length. We're going to examine it. We could preach for 10 hours and a half, wouldn't be told, upon this great identical characteristic of Melchizedek and Christ the Anointed One, and these similarities of the characteristics being identical. Both of them had association with Abraham. Melchizedek met him. Both of them had rituals of bread and wine. Oh man, I feel the anointing right there, because I could speak about bread in the sixth chapter of the book of St. John forever. Ladies and gentlemen, the half has not been told about these great spiritual mysteries, and both of them were anointed ones. And the Bible, the only individuals, now let me emphasize that, in the Bible, the only individuals who have the title of sons of God are Christ, Adam, and Melchizedek. Are they all the same person? Did he have different functions for different seasons, for different reasons, for different purposes, for different intentions? Well, we'll see. Listen to me. In Luke chapter 3, verse 38, Adam was the son of Seth, or from Adam, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, who was the son of God. Luke 3:38. So then we prove that the only reference to being the son of God started with Adam. Remember now, Adam was made a living soul, and the second Adam from heaven, which is the type that we're talking about here in Mark 1:1, the Messiah, Christ, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Mark 1:1, King James Version, Yahweh Shua in the Hebrew. Melchizedek. Listen to this. This is marvelous. Melchizedek, without father or mother. Oh, my. Oh, my. Remember the sixth reason I gave you, the eternal one? Eternal. Who are the eternal ones? Are you an eternal one? Or do you have a beginning? And if you do, under the aspects of the Aaronic priesthood, there was a beginning. And there was an end of those things because there was found fault. Are you faultless before God? The Melchizedek ritual of perfection is that you got it before you ever came here. You made the tree good and the fruit was good. If you made the tree evil, the fruit was evil. If you gave the tree an opportunity to become good or evil, then it had to choose its way under different aspects of different ministries for different purposes and for different intentions. We're going to examine all of those things. And the 3 hours that we're going to try to get a 10-hour message wrapped up in three. And I could speak about this man here in Hebrews 7, chapter 3, where it says in the 7th chapter of Hebrews, the 3rd verse, without father or mother, without genealogy. Oh, my. I just get chills up and down my spiritual spine of the eternal pre-existent one, or the eternal one, the one who was appointed by God, the high priest, the sons of God, the king of righteousness, the king of peace, the association with Abraham, without father or without mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, like the Son of God, remains a priest forever. Those are the three aspects of the identical characteristics of Melchizedek and our brother Adam and Christ the Incarnate, the Logos. In the beginning was the Logos. The Logos was with God as the Son of God, the offspring of the ministering spirit, because angels are nothing more than ministering spirits, and even the angels desired to look into those pre-existent ones that were appointed by God as high priests forever after the order of Melchizedek. And yet it's taken so lightly, passed over, and wrapped up as people try to please God under the law. The Bible said as long as you're under the law, you're under the curse. Now, what does that mean, Pastor Buddy? Because if you become a breaker of the law, you're guilty of a transgression. Well, where there's no law, there's no transgression. To a priesthood of the eternal existent ones who write the laws, ladies and gentlemen, before the world was, I am. said, I am that I am. And you will bear witness because you, this is the one that came without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, to come and search out the sons of God who remains themselves priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Oh my, I just get so excited about this. Why am I so intense tonight about the glorious, magnanimous presence of the eternal pre-existent ones that are self-existent? When I say self-existent, you are the creators. In the beginning, God, Elohim, a company, a family of mighty ones is what that means. In the beginning, Strong's number, 430, Elohim, a company, a headship company of mighty ones created the heavens and the earth and brought about the existence of angels. Oh, yes. My. Did you know that the Bible says that Satan, the one that seemed to be second in command in the angelic hierarchy, did you know that the Bible says that when he was created, well, we're talking about the pre-existent ones, the eternal ones, without beginning and without end, the sons of God, the kings of righteousness, the kings of peace, the priests of eternal priesthood, the anointed ones, Adam, the son of God, Melchizedek, without a genealogy. Are you in the headship company without a genealogy? Do you have a beginning? If so, you could probably have an end. Those are those who will be judged accordingly. Unto Cain, he said, if you do good, well and good. If not, sin lays at your door. You know, a tree by its fruit. A good tree cannot. And the Bible states that Melchizedek was made in the image and the likeness of the Son of God. Now, you could interpret that as the image of the Son of God, or as the image of the begotten Son of God, when he took upon himself the Logos, or a fleshly body, but they're one and the same. And you tell me that we don't pre-exist somewhere, that we're just a figment of somebody's evil, carnal, adulterous, in most cases, lustful, that we just got here through chance and haphazardry? If there is not a divine plan, if God didn't know you before, there's a chance he won't know you in the end. If you weren't with him in the beginning, there is a chance that you will not be with him in the end. The Messiah, Christ, the glory, who is the image of God, 2 Corinthians 4:4. And to the Son he said, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek, Hebrews 5:6. The definition of order is the Greek word amphuphia, a facsimile or an exact copy or an exact reproduction or a duplicate. And the likeness, before Abraham was, I am. And Abraham rejoiced to see my day, said the Messiah. And the carnal-minded, self-righteous, hypocritical Pharisee Jews said, why, you're not even 50 years old. And you tell us that you have seen Abraham, and with this, the Messiah said, before Abraham was, I am. He made it clear. He made it very clear who he was. And that put fear upon these who had a beginning, because it brought judgment that if they didn't bring forth fruits of righteousness, they might have an end. Because he said, where I go, where the pre-existent ones were and where they are and where they shall return. If you're from heaven, you're going back to heaven. And as it is stated in John chapter 3, verse 13, I can't get away from that scripture, where it says, no man has ascended into heaven. And I just gave you a whole passel of men, including this one right here, who came from heaven and who went back to heaven. No man has ascended into heaven save he that came down from heaven. And we're talking about eternal, pre-existent ones with a divine covenant plan of the headship company of mighty ones. And all this meat from the table of Almighty God served in the person to a people of stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and soul, carnal, seeking the fish and the loaf theology rather than setting down to the meat because they are not spiritually adapted as pre-existent ones after the order of Melchizedek. No wonder this great covenant principle is only applied to a few. Have you ever been ordained as a Melchizedek priest? You have not, because you ask not. Notice that Paul, talking about the mystery concerning the Messiah, Christ, and Melchizedek, but he's reluctant to tell the uninitiated. I have many things to say on this subject, he said, of whom I cannot now freely speak. Well, when he spoke in the book of Revelation, this man that talked to us in the book of Revelation, let me show you just something here as we go into the script purposes of what Abraham actually realized when he was sitting on the plains under the oaks, as I revealed to you last Sunday night, that when he saw the three men coming across the plains, and he ran into the herd, he killed the lamb, made unleavened bread on the hearth, and there he served these three men wine and bread and lamb, which is the symbols of the Passover, and the other two angels who themselves shared continuously in the serving of the unleavened bread, a covenant principle and only a few really know about, that they destroyed in the Passover, just like on the night of the passing of the death angel that came over the land of darkness, symbolizing those who are under the veil of carnal flesh. Remember, it took Moses to lead them out. He led them by faith. And the Bible says they were all baptized into the sea. And the rock that followed them was Christ. And Moses, instead of speaking to the rock, struck the rock twice to symbolize that the covenant of the priesthood, of the Aaronic priesthood, could not ever take away sins because it required a punishment or a suffering. And blessed to him is the man to whom he will not impute sin. Ladies and gentlemen, there are no laws against the Melchizedek priesthood. Abraham on the plains of Moriah realizes that the soul is never born and never dies. Now I'm going to give you that one more time, so that you can catch the drift of my message here tonight. For the spiritual meat that I'm serving on this table belongs to them who have their senses exercised. That means you've gone often to your prayer room, or you've gone often to your altar, and you've assembled the facts into your mind, and you've thought upon these things, and you've realized that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, and you readily, eagerly take the plunge and say, here I am, Father, send me to the table where the meat is served, and give me a chance to eat, to realize that the soul is never born. I'm going to repeat that again. The soul is never born, therefore never dies. When Mary was conversing with the Messiah in the book of John, when she says, I know that he will raise, talking about Lazarus, I know that he will raise in the resurrection, and this man who was of the Melchizedek priesthood, who was never born, had no father, had no mother, had no genealogy before or after. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a headship company of Elohim that have come together and fell into. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The soul is never born and it never dies. And Christ said, he that believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe that? Well, that's a question that begs an answer, and the only way that you can get that question answered is that you step into the role as a high priest of the high divine headship company of mighty ones assembled with no beginning and no end. Abraham was initiated into the order of Melchizedek, who honored him by placing upon his shoulders the mantle of authority, the symbol of his illuminated consciousness, and made him a high priest of spiritual revelation. Jacob, who himself, when he met this same priest over in Bethel, in what is now present-day Galilee, on the plains there, he himself, a descendant of Abraham, here Jacob makes the same covenant vow. He says, if you will bless me, if you will prosper me, if you will watch after me and give me spiritual revelation, I will pay you a tenth of all that I possess. Following the line of the order of Melchizedek. The Bible says when Abraham died, that he left all he had as a symbol of this Melchizedek priesthood covenant. And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Was it not Rebekah who tricked Isaac, the one who was dim in his eyes, symbolizing that the flesh man has a covenant of responsibility to the flesh? He that honors the flesh honors nothing, because the flesh has no honor. There is nothing good in the flesh. But Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, under the covenant of fleshhood, wearing the veil of the Aaronic priesthood, later as symbolized by Moses having to wear a veil, because when he went into the presence of the Melchizedek priest and set 80 days, 8 is a new beginning, ladies and gentlemen. How long have you set in the presence to have your consciousness revised or renewed under the symbol of the order of Melchizedek? Or are you just trudging along like the weary ox, where you're afraid to do this and you're afraid to do that, or you're sitting in some bell box with a Sunday school priestess teaching you when you should be out in a cave with your legs crossed and you haven't ate for 40 days or for 40 nights? Wouldn't that be a marvelous revelation rather than sitting in some Sunday school class with a seminary preacher or priestess sitting there to offer up their carnal opinions, which can never take away sins, or striving along as the ox that is sacrificed daily in will worship as opposed to spiritual revelation? You shall know the truth, and it shall make you free. The soul expressing itself and unfolding itself. Isaac is the symbol of all personal and physical sacrifices of the carnal mind, which can never take away sin. It was to the offspring chosen and hand-picked by Yahweh who had a choice. You say, well, God ain't got no respect to person. Yeah, he don't. But he has respect, too. He respected Jacob. But he despised his hairy, red Edomite brother named Esau. And the Bible says he hated him. He hated this flesh man. The Bible said hating even the garment spotted by flesh. That's the carnal mind, and the Bible said the carnal mind is not subject and cannot never obtain membership at the serving of the altar of truth. As you give out this spiritual illuminated information to them who have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. Did you know that the Father said that it's not those that are good that's going to inherit the kingdom? Because the Bible said there's none good, so you could quit trying to be good. Do you know the preacher out in Colorado that was up fighting the gay movement? One of the ones that visited the White House, I wonder why, that he was invited. You know, a tree by its fruit, and you're known by the company you keep. Ladies and gentlemen, there's something rotten, very rotten, that will soon be exposed not only in the churches that abound with the prophets of Baal who are still practicing the occult grove rituals of male and female prostitution. And you need to order my revelation tape on blood cults to see exactly what the seed of Cain and their offspring and the power that they wield and the people that sold out to gain the notoriety and loving the praises of men have obtained a membership in the carnal consciousness of their own mind, thinking themselves to be wise. They have become fools. And Christ chose the foolish thing to admit you into the altar that serves truth and meat to which no unclean thing will walk thereon. Isn't it wonderful? You're admitted to the inner court that you can see a vision and hear the voice of the Mighty One only in the inner court. The voices that spoke outside upon the mountain, no one was permitted to break through and gaze. Moses had a personal audience with the Pope of Heaven, the Vicar of God, the Melchizedek, the Coven, the Chosen One, the one that said that he had seen Abraham, the same one that knew Moses face to face, and the one that raised him up in the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew and spoke to him and sent him into heaven. And remember, the Bible said no man has ascended into heaven save he which come down. Moses had to be a member of the headship company of mighty ones. Are you admitted to the inner court that you can see the vision clear and hear the voice deeper? Have you been initiated into the degree of spiritual attainment? Have you prepared yourself for the reckoning of the deepening of the revelation? Did you know that Sir Isaac Newton said that life is beyond, and I confess how little we know and how silly. Now, this is Isaac Newton, ladies and gentlemen. This man would make me and most others seem like they were taking a back seat to knowledge. This man, Sir Isaac Newton, said, if all the truth of a learned man that I have journeyed in life and seem to have picked up but a few shells along the seashore, the great ocean of truth still lies infinite before me. So as we overcome human nature on the physical plane, having learned the folly of evil of self-indulgence by self-mastery and the enlightenment of our senses, we pass from the outer court, which is represented by the third dimensional earth plane, or the indulgence by self-mastery and the enlightenment as the Gentiles of the outer court, and the uninitiated to the inner court of those that have learned their lessons, that the flesh profits nothing. It is the spirit that quickens. Here, the mental, which is represented by the water, and the psychic ability represented by the air, on the planes engage our earnest and patient attention, that if we will serve Him and be still and know Him, that we will defeat our obsessions that wants us to yield to self-possession, our outward attractions to one's self-indulgences, denies us the divine freedom of spirit. You can't serve two masters. Flesh and blood will never allow itself an opportunity to enter, although most people use the knowledge of the carnal to preach the preparation of the kingdom of God. The ones that do these things are not, and now or forever, made perfect in the divine covenant of the laws of Melchizedek. Listen to me as I read you in 2 Peter. But you are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You are a peculiar person, that you should show forth the praises. What do you got to praise Him about? Remember, the Bible said, if you don't owe Him nothing and He give it to you freely, wouldn't you rather rejoice? But those who try to work their way into heaven, daily loading themselves with the heavy burdens, and the Bible said, be not overly righteous, lest you shorten your days. Did you know that the preacher that confessed his sexual sin before his congregation was man enough to resign a position that he had masqueraded as a righteous man, and yet his flesh was a hunk of junk? Did you know that he was president of 30 million Christian evangelical believers? What an embarrassment of those who claim to be righteous in the flesh, but inwardly, they're just like the Pharisees that Christ spoke about. They're full of dead men's bones. They are corrupt, given over to the lusts of the flesh. They have the riches, and they worship. You see, once man submits himself to 30 million people's worship, he begins to be like Herod, the great speaker of Acts chapter 12, when he spoke like a god and died like a miserable man. Listen to this one, Revelations 1 and 5. This is a great one. And from the Messiah, Yahweh, Yeshua, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Now, let me say that again. He is the prince of the kings of the earth. Are you a king? Are you a Melchizedek king? Have you took the oath of the Melchizedek covenant? Have you been initiated into the sacred circle of believers? The prince of the kings of the earth, who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Now, what does that mean? With His own blood, He washed us. That means a righteous, royal blood that cannot be tainted or stained by the adulteration of the bloods upon the earth. We are a separate, holy, royal, chosen priesthood of the Melchizedek. We know that the Levitical priesthood could never take away sin, although they were daily offerings. And here, the righteous blood of the one that was begotten from the dead. Listen to this now, Daniel 12 and 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, who are those that are going to awake in the dust of the earth? Well, the body is a dust of the earth. Your awakening or your resurrection will come when you accept the truth at that moment. The resurrection happens to you right then. When you are initiated or illuminated or brought forth or saved, as some people would say, or regenerated, as some people would say, saved by his blood, washed in his blood. This is the illumination of the soul that was always eternal. That soul that was always self-existent. That soul that had no beginning and no end, made perfect by our prince of those kings that are upon the earth under the Melchizedek rule. I'm telling you, this is something that the world will not teach. This is something that the world will not have. Listen to this, John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. He that believeth on the Son. Who is the Son? We just told you that he's the royal king, the Melchizedek bloodline that came into the world to give you an identical characteristic of himself that he pre-existed and giving you the schoolmaster knowledge that you existed with him. And he said, you've been with me from the very beginning, and all that I have come for, and I will lose nothing. Now, let's go a little bit farther. Oh, my time is already come and gone, ladies and gentlemen. Melchizedek. He was a priest of the Most High God. Genesis 14 and 18. I haven't even got into the text. Messiah, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Psalms 110, verse 4. The Messiah, Yahweh Shua, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 5 and 6. That word there that I gave you, which is a facsimile or an exact copy or an exact reproduction or a duplicate, is the mystery that Paul spoke concerning that the Messiah and Melchizedek. I was reluctant to tell people because he said, I have many things to say that I'm not permitted to talk about. And here it is, Pastor Buddy giving you the rest of the story of the mystery of the Melchizedek covenant, and very few want to even be one. Paul indicates that the priest of the order of Melchizedek was to last forever. That's because everlasting sons who have no beginning and end truly are under the order of Melchizedek. They're not under the law of sin and death. They're not under the law of do I have to or do I want to. It's not a choice, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says that we are called with a holy calling. If a lump is holy, then you can believe that the offspring will be holy, and we are the sons of Melchizedek, with no beginning and no end and no genealogy that can be traced in the earth. Our blood comes from heaven. Right from my 8 hours of the series of the royal blood, you'll see that it's been a continuous priesthood as long as there has been a beginning. And until there is an end, when you shall know the mysteries of our Heavenly Father more clearly, you will understand that the identical symbol of rule of Melchizedek as a king of righteousness in Hebrews 7 and 2, to whom Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem. Now, where's the king of Salem? Just read you there in Revelation. Abraham look for a city to come. You think he saw the city where the Messiah was crucified as a holy city? When the writer of the New Testament said it was Sodom where that Yahweh Shua was crucified? Did you know that the city to come is the city of the King of Righteousness? Did you know in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5, the days are coming, declares Yahweh, I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do that which is right in the land. Jeremiah 23 and 5. Which agrees with Hebrews 7 and 2 that a king of righteousness, after that the king of Salem, which is the king of peace, shall come and establish in your heart a kingdom which shall rule forever and never be done away with. Here we go again in Genesis 49 and 10. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations will be to him. The nations is the house of the Melchizedek covenant people, as it's related in Genesis 49 and 10. Did you know that the Messiah as the King of Righteousness in Hebrews 1 and 8? And oh, I need to get into that whole chapter of Hebrews chapter 1. But when he talks about the Son, he says, your throne, O God. Now let me repeat that. When he talks about the Son, he says, your throne, O God. Well, he's brought many sons into the kingdom principle. Now who are you? As he is, so are you. As he was in the world, even so are you. As he overcomes, so will you. As he kept the faith, so will you. As you love him, he loved you. As you're in him, he's in you. Unto the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and forever. And righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. Oh, my. Hebrews 1 and 8. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to hurry up. One more line of thought here, as I'm not even clearing the first hour hurdle of the identical right to rule that is appointed by the eternal headship company of mighty ones, when Yahweh Shua, the elder brother, who sits among us, who thought it not robbery to sit with him, after he overcome and sat down in the throne, and he gave you this order, to him that overcometh will I give a right to rule. And as the Melchizedek priest, you don't depend upon genealogy as the Aaronic priesthood did. You don't have to offer daily sacrifices. The human lineage of Jesus, the Messiah, was not from an earthly man. His blood, according to John chapter 3, was the blood of God. And no man has ascended into heaven save he that comes down. So if you get to heaven, you can believe one thing. You were with him in the very beginning as a Melchizedek headship company of mighty ones associated with that priesthood. And he's a priest forever. And so are you, after. Now, forever means there is no given and no taken. You see, the Messiah didn't give you something to take it away from you. You had it from the very beginning. You just have to come to that understanding. In Hebrews 7:2, listen to this. His name means King of Righteousness, or the King of Salem, and that means King of Peace, according to Hebrews 7:2. The Messiah, Yahweh Shua, was called a Wonderful Counselor, and Isaiah 9:6, the Mighty God. And as it's recorded in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, thou throne, O God, as a Wonderful Counselor. Did you know that when you meet a Melchizedek priest, he will give you wonderful sayings of old, things that's kept secret from the foundation of the world, and will reveal to you your part, which was written in the Lamb's book with your name attached to it as a Melchizedek, a priest, after the royal priesthood order, not of the Aaronic, but of the earthly, no, but of the spirit, yes, forever a priest, after the divine royal covenant, ruling and reigning with him as a headship company of mighty ones, because you came down from heaven only because you were in heaven. Do you remember? Don't you remember when you were in heaven? Don't you remember that when the heavens and the earth were created, that you shouted for joy? Don't you remember that? Oh my, you eternal priest, how soon you forget. But as it is stated, like the Son of God, you remain a priest forever in Hebrews 7 and 3. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek, Hebrews 5 and 6. Melchizedek and the Messiah were priests forever with an unchangeable priesthood of pre-existence. And when he came for his sheep, he said, they are from above. They're not of this world. Oh, my. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're of the earth, earth in your carnal, and you strive as the ox daily, offering up acceptable sacrifices of your own carnal mind, thinking in yourself that you've made yourself worthy to come nigh, and you don't have any royal blood attachment to an eternal priesthood, then you are going to be in that group when he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Now, I've got to tell you tonight, as I end this message, as we started in Genesis 14 and 18, where this great, mighty priest with the bread and the wine stepped out into the third dimension time and appointed Abraham, as he did Job, as he did Adam, as he did all of the mighty headship company of mighty ones, the Elohim, to which I am, to which you are, and to which you join. Point one, the Word became flesh, John 1:14. In the beginning was the very nature of a God in a flesh body. You see, this is nothing new, that God became a flesh man. God dwelt before Abraham. I showed you where, in the 33rd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, that Moses saw his hinder parts and had to wear a veil forever. That's because that he saw him in his full extended glory in a flesh body. Abraham saw his physical presence and never put a veil on. What was the difference between the two, the covenants? One is the Aaronic covenant of the law of Moses, which could never take away sin. And the other was a swear unto Abraham. And Abraham only believed the promise. Ladies and gentlemen, one is the struggling ox of sacrifice. The other is the Prince of Peace, the joy unspeakable, and the full of glory. Point two. All of his children had a human nature. So he himself promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who he said would come as to his human nature. He was the descendant of David, according to Romans chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Therefore, becoming a priest forever, as David related in the book of Psalms, chapter 110, where he stated that thou art forever. I'll swear that thou art a priest forever. Have you ever took that oath and covenant to be a priest forever? Well, you say, you have not, because you ask not. Do you really believe? If you really believed, you would get on an old-fashioned altar in the sacred circle, and you would raise your hand and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, I am a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, without father or mother. My soul has no beginning and no end, as it was revealed to Abraham. Without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, like the Son of God, you remain a priest forever. Now, let me give you my mailing address. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip, 37824. Now, again, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, 37824. And there's someone listening to me tonight that has often wondered about the mystery of Melchizedek. Tonight you've got your answers. And if that person is you, and you're a new listener, and I know who you are, you're there. You need to write me tonight, and I'll send you this message of the mystery of Melchizedek, along with our mysteries messages that are concerning this priesthood and how to be initiated into this covenant, to have your mind encircled with the power of the living God from the foundation of the world. And the Bible said you will bear witness because you've been with me from the very beginning. Now, if you'd like to call me, I'm live tonight, and we are in November the 5th, the year 206. We are fixing to come into year 207 very quickly. We don't have much time left. So then, prepare yourself in this age as a pre-existent one. If you feel like that you pre-existed, if you feel like you have memories and that the gospel ignites and brings you back and wells you to that being to stimulate that eternalness of your body, your mind, and your soul. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of people that don't have that holy calling as a royal priest with your name on the Lamb's book from the foundation of the world, and nobody will be able to lay anything to your charge. Who shall charge the sons of Yah who write the laws and the commandments? I want you to know that you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Praise Yahweh. Now, you can call me at area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. I'm live here on WWCR around the world. If you'd like to, my sponsor, Dr. Gary, what a wonderful man with knowledge. He just amazes me with his knowledge. He's a wonderful man. Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. We need your help to continue on the broadcast. We'd like to have 7 nights in a row on WWCR. Wouldn't that be wonderful if Pastor Buddy could teach 7 days a week? I'd like to teach 24/7. Just take off long enough to just get me a drink of water every once in a while and keep preaching the gospel. Because, you see, ladies and gentlemen, the half that's not been told, and if all the books were written in the world, they should have been written about this great message of pre-existence of the mighty ones, the eternal beings. The world itself couldn't contain the books that could be written on the subject. My good friend, Brother Paul, up in Centerline, Michigan. Brother Paul just had a prayer for me right before the broadcast and stirred the bottom of my soul. And I'm telling you, I still feel, Brother Paul, the effects of that prayer. Brother Paul, STEM Tech Health Information will send you a DVD of this marvelous product. 1-800-253-2748. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I got to get out of here. My time is coming gone. I'll see you next Sunday night on WWCR around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South.
Will you partake of that last altar cup or disappear into the potter's ground? When the man comes around, hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing.
Thank you for listening to Worldwide Christian Radio, WWCR, Nashville, Tennessee, USA.